25. Darwin's Singular Notion. In the late summer, or early autumn of 1859, Whitwell Elwin, editor of the respected British journal The Quarterly Review, was sent an advance copy of a new book by the naturalist Charles Darwin. Elwin read the book with interest and agreed that it had merit, but feared that the subject matter was too narrow to attract a wide audience. He urged Darwin to write a book about pigeons instead. "Everyone is interested in pigeons," he observed helpfully. Elwin's sage advice was ignored, and On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or the Preservation of Favoured Races in the Struggle for Life, was published in late November 1859, priced at 15 shillings. The first edition of 1,250 copies sold out on the first day. It has never been out of print, and scarcely out of controversy in all the time since. Not bad going for a man whose principal other interest was earthworms, and who, but for a single impetuous decision to sail around the world, would very probably have passed his life as an anonymous country parson, known for, well, for an interest in earthworms. Charles Robert Darwin was born on February the 12th, 1809, an auspicious date in history, on the same day in Kentucky Abraham Lincoln was born, in Shrewsbury, a sedate market town in the West Midlands of England. His father was a prosperous and well-regarded physician. His mother, who died when Charles was only 8, was the daughter of Josiah Wedgwood of pottery fame. Darwin enjoyed every advantage of upbringing, but continually pained his widowed father with his lacklustre academic performance. "You care for nothing but shooting, dogs, and rat-catching, and you will be a disgrace to yourself and all your family," his father wrote in a line that nearly always appears just about here in any review of Darwin's early life. Although his inclination was to natural history, for his father's sake he tried to study medicine at Edinburgh University, but couldn't bear the blood and suffering. The experience of witnessing an operation on an understandably distressed child—this was in the days before anaesthetics, of course—left him permanently traumatized. He tried law instead, but found that insupportably dull, and finally managed, more or less by default, to acquire a degree in divinity from Cambridge. A life in a rural vicarage seemed to await him, when from out of the blue there came a more tempting offer. Darwin was invited to sail on the naval survey ship HMS Beagle, essentially as dinner company for the captain, Robert Fitzroy, whose rank precluded his socializing with anyone other than a gentleman. Fitzroy, who was very odd, chose Darwin in part because he liked the shape of Darwin's nose. It betokened depth of character, he believed. Darwin was not Fitzroy's first choice, but got the nod when Fitzroy's preferred companion dropped out. From a 21st-century perspective, the two men's most striking joint feature was their extreme youthfulness. At the time of sailing, Fitzroy was only 23, Darwin just 22. Fitzroy's formal assignment was to chart coastal waters, but his hobby, passion really, was to seek out evidence for a literal, biblical interpretation of creation.
This book is continued on Disc 13.